North Rock Podcast.
Well, we've been talking about freedom for the last 6-7 weeks, it's been a great series. We're going to switch gears a little bit this weekend because for the past weeks we've been talking about us. We've been answering the question, how can I find freedom? How can I walk in freedom? And this weekend we're going to focus on them. And I'm going to tell you who them is in just a second. But first I want to introduce the title for our message this morning. And it is, Don't Curse the Darkness, Light a Match. We are to be the light of this world. We are to be, we are the light of this world. Jesus has commissioned us as his ambassadors in this world. And if people see a light in this world, in this dark world, we all know we live in a very dark world. We live in a broken world. And if people see light, they see light from the church, from us, from people that are followers of Jesus. And you might say, well, no, I'm not a light. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. Well, sorry, but God uses exactly those people to be the light of the world. Because what the world wants to see is a broken person, someone that's not perfect, resonating the light of who Jesus came to be and what he wants to be in our lives. So we are focusing on them this weekend. And it's interesting because I feel so passionate about what I'm going to talk about today. But I also get probably the most scared. Because we do live in a culture, and I'm not, this is not a slam, this is not being negative at all, but it's just the reality of the culture that we live in, that church is, you know, we want it to be comfortable, we want it to sound a certain way, and a lot of times we pick the churches we go to based on what am I going to get out of it. And can I be honest with you, the church was never set up to be that way. The church was not meant to be, I'm going to go church shopping, and if they make me happy enough, and if they do all the things I want them to do, then I'm going to stay at that church. No, we've got it wrong if that's the way we're looking at it. Church is not even a building. The church is us. And the church was created by Jesus more than anything else to change this world. In fact, when Jesus left the first group of believers that met together, the first group that would call themselves the church, you know what he said to them? He said, you're going to go into all of the world and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go into all of the world, you're going to be disciples. You're going to go into all of the world and you're going to care for the people in this world because those are my people and I've commissioned you. Yesterday, we had Ted Vail here with us in the morning. We're talking about living out our purpose, and he started by saying this, and I love it. He said, you know that in this world, God has a plan A for this world, and you are plan A. Then he said, there is no plan B. And I like that because it's the truth. What is God's plan for the redemption of this world, for the care of this world, for those, the millions that are in slavery today for this world? Well, it's you and I. Now, I do want to just make a little bit of a warning here this morning because I do see some kids in here. We're going to talk about some real stuff, and especially the video that I'm going to show, the video clip, it's pretty raw, and I just want to make sure that you guys know that we have great kids ministries. Oh, there go the kids. See you guys. I love it. Well, good. I'm glad that I said something, right? We're not going to talk about rainbows and butterflies this morning. But listen, I feel like it needs to be that way. I feel like we need to know what's going on and what I believe breaks the very heart of God. You know what our pursuit is? I hope that this is all of our pursuit, is that we begin to see the world the way Jesus sees the world. And that we begin to have our heart broken the way God's heart is broken for people in this world. That might be the person right around you. It might be the person down the street from you. Might be the person you see every day. It might be the person across the world that you don't even know. God has called us all to be that light in this world. So who are these people? Well, specifically, God has called our church recently, and you've heard me talk about this in the last couple months, to really be aware of what's going on in the world in the area of modern-day slavery. There are over 27 million people that are in slavery today. And I believe that if God cares about this as much as he does, as we're going to see in Scripture, then we as the church should care about it as well and ask him, what can we do about it? Now, why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because we're in a series on freedom. And it's easy for us to just focus on ourselves in this area, and that's fantastic. We want that. It's exactly what God wants us to do, is to look at ourselves, to allow him to search our hearts and show us the areas where we don't have freedom, where we can walk in freedom. That's what we've been doing. But I think it's just as important to look outside of ourselves and find out who are those that aren't walking in freedom, and how can we help them? What part can we play in allowing them to be released from the captivity that they're in? Maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's a physical kind of thing that is happening in their lives. And again, God, we are God's plan A for them, and there is no plan B. There's still 153 million orphans in the world today. When I talk about orphans, I'm talking about those who are unwanted. They're born, and for some reason, a lot of times there might be something that's physically wrong with them, and in some cultures they see that as a curse from God, so they throw them out on the streets. They want to get rid of that curse. Throw them out on the streets. Many of these orphans grow up because they have no other way to survive, ending up in what is called this modern-day slavery, where there's 27 million people involved. It all stems from poverty, because they have to fight to survive. They have to fight to live. And so they end up in industries like prostitution and industries where the sex slave industry around this world. And this is a major issue in this world today. There's 27 million in modern-day slavery in the world today. Many of those women and children who have been exploited in the global commercial sex trade industry. 50% of transnational victims are children. The average age of entry into prostitution is 12 to 14 years old. Again, it stems from poverty and the corrupt people that take advantage of and exploit the innocent and the desperate. I think of the thousands of invisible children in Uganda that have been stolen from their families and made into child soldiers and forced to fight with the rebel forces. Take Sashi, a 14-year-old orphan girl, who one day while begging on the streets of Cambodia was approached by a nice man who gave her a warm meal and cared for her. He invited her to go with her and that he would give her work and take care of her. 2 months later, she found herself addicted to drugs at the mercy of the man who got her hooked, selling herself sexually so she could eat, survive, and feed her drug addiction. This is one of thousands of stories just like this. Many prostitutes in our country, right down the street from us, have a similar story. Coming to America with the promise that they could work here, make money for their families, make a life for themselves, only to find the little bit of life that they had been taken from them by man filled with corruption, man controlled by deep, deep darkness. I want to show this video. And it's a clip it's a trailer of the video, the movie that we're going to show tonight. Here, we're going to show the full movie tonight. And we're also going to tonight talk a little bit about what we can do about it and how we can play a role in this. We're not just talking about it. We talk about it to create awareness so that people know what's going on. And then the next step is, God, what do you want us to do about this? And I believe he will show us what we're going to do. So let's watch this clip. Again, there's a very graphic nature to this clip, but I believe it's important that we see what is going on. So let's watch.
So we get ready to leave, and I can pay with my credit card. Okay? So you pay with your credit card, and here's your receipt that you get. Tiger beer, $4. Bunch of grapes, $5. Karaoke girl for 1 hour, do whatever you want to her, $3. For $3, you can spend an hour with a girl and do whatever you want with her for $3. Dozens upon dozens of girls in a village of 3,000 people that are raped 5 to 10 times a day for money, for the pleasure of some guy, foreigner, coming to our country.
There are more slaves in the world right now than at any time in human history.
Trafficking is simply an exploitation of vulnerability.
Do they want to be in prostitution?
No. Not even one single day.
No woman is on the streets because she just likes sex and or wants money. This is a system of utter manipulation.
They'll traffic their daughters.
They'll sit there, they can work, but they don't work, and they traffic their daughters every single day. It's that moral vacuum.
We live in a sexually obese culture. Every level of media is providing sexual stimuli.
If you're looking at softcore today, you're gonna get bored with that, you know, and you're gonna wanna look at some of the harder core stuff. And then eventually, I think, for a lot of people, they wanna experiment. They wanna see, well, what, well, my wife's not into this, or I'm not married, so let me, where can I find this?
So you go out into the streets at night looking for a body to rent.
It was $10, you know, I made $393 a month, and you could buy a girl for $10 a night. I went to bed with over 500 girls in 2 years.
It is unspeakable, the depth of pain and the injury. How? What's the answer?
What proof do we need? Does education and development solve evil in the West? I mean, what has that done? Nothing. We have all the evidence in the world that education and money does not get rid of evil.
Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 4. I believe we see one of the first pictures of the darkness that can grow in man's heart. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve, we all know, are the first humans on this planet, and they had two sons, Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, this is the fourth chapter in the entire Bible. We see they had gave birth to Cain. With the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Verse 2, later, she gave birth to his brother named Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right." Now listen to this here. "But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you." God says, do what's right. Stay in the light. If you refuse to do what is right, darkness will take over you and control you. What happened in this story? Cain ends up killing his brother because he's so filled with greed, with revenge, with pride. Darkness is birthed by refusing to do what is right. And it grows from there to where men do the most unspeakable of things. God says, do what's right. Walk in the way that I've created you to walk in. If you don't, watch out. You're going to get controlled by darkness. I believe that the deepest darkness in this world today, And I'll show you why I believe this in Scripture. It comes from greed, pride, revenge, quest for money and power, with the exploitation or harm of people, especially the innocent. Let me tell you guys something. I think most of us know this. God doesn't like it when you mess with his children. God doesn't like it when you mess with the creation that he put on this planet. He doesn't like it when we mess with those that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for. He's very serious about this. He gets very serious when it comes to people that are being mistreated. In fact, most of the prophets in the Bible, most of their prophecies, a lot of their prophecies were coming against the corruption and the oppression of man. Listen to what it says in Exodus 22, 21 through 24. Let's read this together. You must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any. Remember, you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must not exploit a widow or an orphan. And I want to stop right there. The Bible, if you dig into this word orphan, it literally means orphan. But it also means anyone that is unwanted. So you might look at a prostitute that had parents or that had a parent. But if that parent wasn't someone that has taken the responsibility to be the godly parent or to be a parent in their lives, they are orphans. They're unwanted. They're thrown out. And that's why a lot of these people that we're talking about go in to things they never, ever, as little kids, dreamed about. The next slide here. If you exploit them in any way, and they cry out to me, then I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will blaze against you, and I will kill you with the sword. Then your wives will be widows and your children fatherless. You see how serious God is about this. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. Malachi 3:5, the Lord All-Powerful said, I'm now on my way to judge you, and I will quickly condemn all who practice witchcraft or cheat in marriage, or tell lies in court, or rob workers of their pay, or mistreat widows and orphans, or steal the property of foreigners, or refuse to respect me. This is something that breaks the heart of God. What is his plan? We're his plan. We're plan A, and he doesn't have a plan B. Have you ever heard the saying, we're all either a part of the problem or the solution? I think that can be kind of cliche, and sometimes I thought, well, that's not really true. But if you think about it, you might ask the question, well, how am I part of the problem? I haven't done anything. And my answer to that is exactly. There's a word called apathy and indifference that we see the theme of this throughout the Bible. Apathy is a lack of interest or concern. It's essentially the opposite of God's attitude towards us and towards this world. Not caring, not being concerned with the things that are going on around us, go against the Great Commission, goes against what God has commissioned us and called us to be in this world. The Bible says that a nation is judged by how it treats the poor, the vulnerable, and those who Jesus called the least of these. 1 John 3:17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Proverbs 28:27, the one who gives to the poor will not be in need, but one who turns his eyes will receive many curses. The Bible talks a lot about the poor. Why do you think the Bible talks so much about the poor? Well, I believe for a lot of different reasons, but as we talk about this issue, as we talk about the people that we're discussing today, so much of what we see in this industry that is just out of control throughout the world today and in our own country stems from poverty, deep poverty, where kids at a young age, they don't have anything to eat, they don't have anything to any way to survive, so they'll do the unthinkable. in order to survive. Parents, so desperate. So desperate. In many of these countries where the government is corrupt and all they can do is the unthinkable, even to the point of selling their own children, prostituting their own children. So what can we do about this? This is the good news part of this. We all can do something. We all can be a part of this. I say this all the time. We say this a lot around here. Do for one what you wish you could do for many. I remember feeling so overwhelmed, thinking there's so much need in this world. I felt like God just said, just do for one what you wish you could do for so many people. I remember listening to an Andy Stanley podcast, and that was his whole sermon, and I got so much out of that. And it's changed my perspective, because I believe if every person that calls themselves a Christian, which means a Christ follower, which means if you follow Jesus, you're going to end up with the prostitutes, the orphans, those that are the sinners, those that are the outcasts, the marginalized, the unwanted in this world. That's what I believe. That's what I believe this Bible tells us. That if every one of us that calls ourselves a Christian would be concerned to just help one person in this world, it would drastically change this world for the better. If all of us who call ourselves Christians would be willing to just be the light that God has called us to be in this world, can imagine what this world, how this world would look different. So what can we all do? Well, first and foremost, don't contribute to these industries. You might say, well, how am I doing that? Well, let me talk to especially men for just a second, because I've been there. Every time a man looks at pornography, you are contributing to the worldwide epidemic that is happening in the sex slave industry. Every single time you're contributing to that, because many of the girls that are on these sites, many of them, whether they're on there, whether they're doing what they're doing willingly or not, the beginning of it for them most of the time is out of desperation. Many of the females that you see on there were brought to this country or are in other countries with a promise like we talked about before. You're going to come, you're going to model, you're so beautiful, I'm going to get you a job here, I'm going to put you through college. In fact, just in Highlands Ranch this last year, a businessman was arrested for doing this exact thing, bringing people to Colorado with this promise that this is going to be the better life for you. And once they're here, let me tell you something, they can't get back home. They don't know the language, they don't have money to get back home. But out of desperation, they come because they don't have a life where they're living. And this goes on all around us. Don't contribute to these industries. You might think it's harmless just to get on and see something. It's not. When you sponsor a child through Compassion International, World Vision, Christian Children's Fund, you drastically reduce their risk of being forced into an illegal industry. I got to see this firsthand a few years ago. I went to Bolivia with our church. And when we were in Bolivia, I knew that there was a child that I sponsored, Raul, who was living in that area. So I called Compassion. I said, I'm going to be in Bolivia. Can I visit my sponsored child? I'd love to go and see him and meet him and spend some time with him. And turns out I got to spend an entire day with him and some of the Compassion leaders. I got to go and see the community center where they all gather, where the money from us that's just $35 a month goes to give them education, clothing, to give them everything that they need growing up that they wouldn't have been able to go. My day finished by driving him home. Can I tell you something? Home for them, we would not consider home. It was these semi-walls that just had one of those corrugated metal sheets on top of it with a tire to hold it down, and dirt and mud all around them, and that was home. And I got to see firsthand how my sponsorship in this boy's life literally gave him a chance in this world. where he could today be running with a gang in that community because they adopt them at young ages, saying, you know what, you have nothing else, so come with us, we'll take care of you, we'll be the ones that are going to supply your needs. But instead of that, guess what he gets to do every day? He gets to go and be with the lights in this world from Compassion International. He gets to hear about the love of Jesus Christ every single day. He gets an education. He's going to grow up and probably, most likely, go to college. And he himself make a difference in this world. When we support agencies like Compassion International, World Vision, Compassion First, which is a friend of ours, International Justice Mission, which is an organization of lawyers that travel around the world, and they go and rescue women out of these brothels, women out of these districts. When we sponsor these, when we support these agencies, we are directly involved in the rescue, the care, the rehabilitation of humans all over the world. We're directly involved. We are a part of it. When we pray for them, when we support them financially, when we go, and not all of us can go and take a trip like this, but if we do, we're a part of what's going on with this. And that is our part that we can play. I woke up this morning and I saw this blog posted by our Foursquare missionaries in Estonia, a small country in Europe. And this is the wife speaking. She says, "It's almost 1 a.m., but I still can't sleep. I just spent 2 hours on the street where the prostitutes work. Hannah, my ministry partner, and I go out every other Friday night to offer hot coffee, muffins, and a blessing to these ladies. It's part of our work in the Butterfly Project. But no matter how many times, I still need to decompress after this experience. Tonight, we spent time talking with two ladies. One I will call Anya. Her lipstick was smeared because she was too high to put it on straight, and her eyes were glassy and distant from drugs, but her heart was good and gentle, and inside there was a human being, a broken human being. We gave her a small gift prepared for Women's Day. She was very grateful and said it was the only gift she would receive for Women's Day. She asked us why we were doing such a thing when most people would never even talk to them. Hannah told her because God loves her and wants her to know he is her answer. She listened to all that Hannah had to say about the love of God, really listened, even through the fog of drums, for 15 minutes. She even turned down one customer so she could keep listening to this message of hope. While we talked with these two ladies twice, we were approached by men and asked how much. What a terrible feeling to be asked how much you cost, how much to sell your dignity, your self-respect, your flesh, like there could possibly be a price on it. I felt so dirty just being asked. We were able to say that we were not working, but not the ladies that we were talking with. They had a different outcome to their night than we did. We got into our car and drove away after midnight home to a warm house. Husbands who love us, safety, peace, and provision. These dear women are at this very minute getting into a car with a man they don't know and driving away to sell their bodies for 20 euros, then dropped off so it can happen all over again all night long. And this is going on while I go to sleep in my warm bed without fear or shame. I've seen their faces, I've asked their names, I've learned their stories. I've seen the lost and lonely eyes that reflect a broken heart. That's why Hannah and I do what we do. That's why we started the Butterfly Project, and that, God willing, is why we will keep working to reach more of these ladies with hope and God's love. Here's some lights in this world, some lights that God has called into that area to bring hope where there is no hope. Another thing that we can do is we can be aware of what we're buying. There's a lot of companies that don't care about what's going on in their factories in other countries. And you can hear stories. If you look up, Nike has gotten in trouble. Some of the big industries that don't care and actually use slave labor are coffee and chocolate companies. You can always look into these things and find out, what can I do? Maybe I can buy socially conscious clothes and coffee and chocolate. I've put a list of some of these up on the screen. My wife and I, and don't tell her, but I just bought her some new Tom shoes just because we have an anniversary coming up, and we feel like if we're buying shoes, hey, let's buy it from them. They, for every pair of shoes that you buy, they supply a pair of shoes to somewhere else in the world. And they do these massive shoe drops every single month around the world. And it all of it comes from us just doing our part. Just knowing, hey, instead of buying shoes over here, I'll buy shoes from this company so that I can provide someone in this world with shoes. Look for things that are fair trade, especially when it comes to chocolate and coffee. Look for the little label. You'll see the little label that says fair trade. When you see that, you know that this isn't happening in the industry or in the warehouses where they make these different things. Clothes for Souls is a good clothing company. Della is another clothing company, and then some great organizations to support and be a part of: Water Missions and Charity Water, that are digging wells. And a lot of people in this world die simply just because they don't have drinking water, simply because they're drinking this dirty water and it's giving them parasites, giving them diseases, and they don't have any way to be able to survive because of it. Let's have the worship band come back up. I want to finish by saying something really important. This message isn't to try to make us feel guilty. It's not try to twist your arm to do something. This message is a message that we would all be challenged to talk to our Father about what He wants us to do. That we would be led by the Spirit that lives inside of us, that same Spirit that leads us to freedom, that Spirit inside of us would lead us to how we can do our part in this world, what we can do in this world. Maybe it's an organization that's local. Maybe it's an organization that's distant from us. Maybe some of us in this room would actually feel compelled to go and be a missionary, to go and do something, to go and be a part of one of these organizations somewhere in the world. Maybe today God will impress on your heart to sponsor a child, sponsor a little girl in one of these nations that would help her to survive, would help her to get out of the life that may be coming to her. But it's all about the relationship that you have with God. You know, we talked last week, I said a dangerous prayer is, God, give me your desires. Now, let me tell you something about us as Christians when we say, well, I'll pray about it. We got to be really careful about that. Because what we have the tendency to do is, I'll pray about it, and then nothing ever happens. Or we pray the way we want to pray. Don't pray that way. Pray, God, give me your desire. Show me what you want me to do. I promise He will. I remember when we sponsored our first family through World Vision. It's a family in Romania that had two little boys, two twin boys. And I was asking God, I felt overwhelmed. I thought, man, there's just so much going on in this world. What can I do? And I felt like He led me to, it was online, and I saw this family, and it said, sponsor this family today. And I just knew that this is a connection that God was making. And so for the last, I believe, 9 or 10 years, we've been sponsoring this family. We've gotten to see these little twin boys grow up. And I don't say that to brag. I just say that to say God leads us to what He wants us to do. You don't feel guilty and then just start throwing money because you feel bad and, oh, this is my way to please God. No, that's not it at all. It's in the relationship that we have with Him. We say, God, I know You really, 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 really care about these people. Give me Your heart towards them. What can I do to care for them as well? What can I do, God? He'll show you. When God said go into all of the world, He said start in Jerusalem where they were. Maybe for us, it's just to get aware of what's going on in our own city and be a part of that. Tonight, we're going to be watching that film. And Kristen, who has set this all up for us. She's going to talk to us about some opportunities that we have to be a part of that. So I'd love for you guys to come back and watch that with us and be a part of what we can do as a church. That's how I want to just finish, is just talking about the fact that I can only do so much as an individual, but man, the sky is the limit of what we can do as a church. I think about Honduras. What we're doing in Honduras, how we're touching that nation and the people that we've had a chance to get a relationship with. They started a Celebrate Recovery at the church that we went to. We took all the Celebrate Recovery stuff down there. Do you know that like 150 people come to Celebrate Recovery every single week at that church now? Listen, we can make a difference. When we come together and we say, hey, God has put this on our heart as a church, what can we do? Even if it's just one, it's so worth it. But so much more when we do it as a group of people. When we start to not just go to church, but when we start to be the church, that's when things start happening. I've asked if our team could lead this song that's just one of my favorite songs. It's The Great I Am, and it talks about a God who is so great, who breaks into the darkest places and brings light. And this is the God that we serve. This is the God that is the God of redemption that cares about all of these people. My final thing I want to say, I know I said that a couple said things ago. I went to Thailand about 14 years ago with a group of youth pastors. And at that time, I didn't have a clue that stuff like this was going on in the world. But I remember pulling up at this intersection when we were in our taxi, and I looked over to my right, and I saw this lineup of girls, some of them 10, 11 years old. And I asked the person that we were with, one of the pastors down there, I said, what's going on there? What are those girls doing? And he looked at me and he said, they're waiting to be purchased by a man tonight. And I lost it. I remember just so overwhelmed by the fact that this happens in this world. And I cried out to God that night. I said, God, where are you in all of this? And I felt like he spoke so clearly to me, and this is what I heard him say. I heard him say, where are my people? Where's the plan that I've set in place for this world? And again, this isn't to make you feel guilty. If anything, you should be excited that you are a part of the plan that God has for this world. We should feel honored that he's chosen us to be the ones that get to make a difference in this world. So, Father, we come to worship you now. We come to worship you unselfish this morning. But to worship a God who cares, worship a God who sent his son Jesus to die for those two women that last night in Estonia had an encounter with Jesus. Father, I just ask that you inspire our hearts, that you break our hearts to do what you want us to do in this world, Lord. That we wouldn't just desire freedom for ourselves, Lord, but that we would desire to actively be a part of bringing freedom to others, God. Bring freedom, Lord. Break through the darkness, God. Take hope where there is no hope. Take love where there is no love, God. Bring peace where there's ultimate confusion, Lord. Shine bright in this world, God, and use your people. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.